Funding for Think is made possible by SMU's Informal Courses for Adults.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. You may not want to have a bracelet made up or anything, but if you have been looking to add a bit of adventure to your dining routine, you might want to start by asking yourself this question. What would Rollins eat? Rollins Gilliland is a writer and a frequent contributor of commentaries to KERA and NPR. He is also, it turns out, an intrepid Epicurean who can find as much pleasure in an ear of roasted corn nibbled out of hand at the farmer's market as in the most sought-after special served on gleaming china at the mansion. Fat and calories be damned, the better for Rollins and his dog to walk it all off on their sojourns through the Great Trinity Forest, which seems to inspire Rollins' best thinking and writing anyway. So where should any exploration of Dallas area street food begin? You can read about it in this month's D Magazine, and we have the expert in studio to guide us for the hour. Rollins, welcome to Think.
Hey, I feel like I'm sailing down the Nile with Cleopatra being on your show.
So were you raised on street food? Was this something that your family did, or is this an acquired taste for you?
Well, I actually thought about that in an odd way. I thought, without knowing it, I was, because where we're sitting right here in these studios, the KERA studios, were Little Mexico when I was a little boy, in which case I would come over here and very often, yes, there were festivals and things, and I would sample the street food, or what do we now call it?
You know, it's funny. You talk about festivals. One of the things that you write about that really made me hungry, by the way, I ate this morning before we started instead of putting off lunch so I wouldn't be just starving, is elotes with the ears of roasted corn. I think of that as festival food, but you can really get it all the time.
I did, too. Actually, I almost didn't include it on the article that I did, but because it is like festival food, and it's everywhere. It's the most prevalent food item that's served from in the form of street food all over the city. Actually, I gave up counting like 27. I'm still hearing from people saying you should have had the one that was on Lindsay or the one at Fiesta on Ross. But
now is the secret in what you're provided to sprinkle over the corn, or is it how it's roasted? What makes for the
I mean, with a lotus, it's basically it changes a little bit from cart to cart, but they're clearly just taking it off of the shuck, you know, the hot corn off, taking it off the what do you call it, the hut?
The
what
husk.
Do I know?
Yeah.
Anyway, then they're squeezing parquet and putting, you know, lime on it and then adding Parmesan, and you get your own choices of what you want to put to it. Downtown at Paul's Sweet Corn, which is doing land office business, according to my editor over at the
That's at the farmer's market,
yeah.
Right?
He offers a million different salts and things like flavored salts that you can put on. They all have their own interpretation. You know, they're just like good dancers. They just all have different moves.
Do you like to eat yours cut off, or do you like to gnaw off the cob?
I just like it any way that they do. You know, it's funny. I don't think I'd ever buy corn and fix it at home much. It's just – it's always out of sight, out of mind. And the minute I see, you know, somebody offer it for sale in some exotic situation, you know, I can't wait.
What else do you like down at the farmer's market? Do you spend a lot of time down there?
No, I used to a lot. The center of gravity and sort of alternative eating in Dallas changes as things evolve. For instance, like when I moved over into Southeast Dallas, which was erroneously called for decades Pleasant Grove, which Pleasant Grove is actually just one of seven neighborhoods in Southeast Dallas. But anyway, the neighborhood of Pleasant Grove, which is about 3 miles south of I-30, when I first moved over there, it was all white, low-income, middle America, aging, blue-collar. Then it went all black in the late 80s and early 90s. And then somewhere from the mid to late 90s on, it became almost entirely Mexican. So, I mean, that sort of changed my center of gravity. All of a sudden, I was like Night of the Living Dead. I was walking down to Pleasant Grove and just going from place to place, just, you know, gaining – it was like when they first opened Krispy Kreme out in Arlington. it was a destination, you know. And I gained – I kept about 10 pounds on for quite a long time as a result of it.
Why is it that you think the best street food – everything that you seem to write about in the piece seems to be ethnic food? There's no hamburgers on there. What's the reason for that?
Well, I think that changes. Actually, there is a hamburger place that's in South Dallas that I would have liked to have included, Mr. Charles Hamburgers. But, you know, as much as I know this town, and I explore it constantly. It's just in my DNA. Out of complete curiosity and just a natural tendency as an adventurer. It seems that the street food is generally ethnic. I learned that when I was hitchhiking around the world in the early 70s. You know, you'd go to Chicago, for instance, a much larger city, and there'd be the Greek part of town and the Polish part of towns. And I thought, you know, we don't have that in Dallas. But now we're really a huge city, and there is a lot of that here. As a result, I'm truly in love with my city. I sound like Michelle Obama. For the first time in my adult life, I'm truly in love with my city. But I am.
You know, it's interesting because I'm a big proponent of what I call the in-town vacation. You know, sometimes you don't travel out of town, but there are so many things where all of us live, not just in Dallas, but in Fort Worth and Arlington and all the cities in between, that we don't necessarily see if they're not on the route to work or wherever we go every day, or they're not a destination.
Yeah, this confounds me, actually. I've noticed this more and more, certainly as I've gotten older, that people really are enormously territorial. They know where their ATM is, where they work out, their laundry, their Albertsons, but they don't really venture out. I found a lot of people that, for instance, in Dallas, talking to them, that think their greatest adventure in this town is they once crossed the Trinity to go to, you know, the Bishop Arts District. And I'm really not making fun of them, I promise, but when I talk about Oak Cliff, I mean, there's all these misperceptions, and also it's an enormous area of the city. My entire article, with the exception of Northwest Dallas, primarily is incorporating what's now being referred to as Southern Dallas, or is what used to be called the Southern Sector. I don't really call it that because West Dallas is not Southern, but it's the other part of the city. I wrote a piece in Pegasus earlier this year called The Hidden City about the marvels that are just out there all over the city, and that's part of what I do.
Is all this stuff at risk as we continue to sort of redevelop these areas and make them what people would call nicer?
Right. Well, a lot. I mean, the city is enormous. And for instance, there's certain areas that are certainly not at risk at all. I mean, people would feel at risk going there. I don't. But I don't know why I don't. I just don't. The thing that scares me the most is when I'm in an area where everybody looks exactly the same. And that's the way Dallas was when I was growing up, you know. And last night I was at a place where it looked that way. But no, I think that a lot of Dallas really does retain its flavor because, first of all, people I have to say this because this is really not particularly something everybody wants to hear. But location, location, location in this city, as in most American cities, really does tend to mean white, white, white. And I've lived in a mixed-race neighborhood half my life. I look out my front window and my neighbors are black and brown. They all own their homes. I've watched their children grow up. Sometimes I've helped them start school by teaching them Spanish. To me, I am so much richer for that than I would be. I would feel like it was a minimum security prison if I was put somewhere where everybody looked like me. God forbid, because I've taken a look at myself lately, and I tell you, it's not a pretty sight.
I think you look just fine. There would probably be a run on sunscreen if everybody looked exactly like you.
Yeah, well, there is that.
Roland Skilland is my guest. We're talking about street food and really living in the city where you live, because this is such a wider discussion. But let's talk a little more specifically about the food. Aguas Frescas. Where do you like to go when it's really hot and you want something good to drink?
Well, I have to give – I mean, I've got my blue ribbons here on this. Los Compadres, a kiosk that's out in the – I think it's called the Walnut Creek in Garland. I couldn't believe their drinks. Just enormous. Like I said, they're like 40 ounces. They're like the super ones that you get at 7-Elevens. But the horchata, you know, the rice – a drink. I'd had that before, but not really in my own city. Isn't that odd?
Well, let's describe that for people who've maybe driven by these stands and they see like a big glass container of what looks like milk. Talk about what's inside it.
Well, I the funny thing is I'm really not a foodie, I which is why I'm shocked. I said I'd never write about fashion or food, and here I am writing about food. But It's, as I understand, it's a drink made with rice, and it's heavily flavored with all the flavors that you would have normally in, let's say, a rice pudding, you know, the cinnamon and so forth and so on. And it's really like drinking dessert. And then when I really want to be refreshed and, you know, I'm really thirsty and not looking for something sweet, then I love the tamarind drinks, the tamarindo, you know.
And do you drink Jamaica as well, which is hibiscus tea?
Right. Well,
is in some of those places.
I haven't found where I buy it around town, but
you can get tamarind and you can get Jamaica both at Fiesta. You can buy them not outside. They're not prepared for you. It's not street food so much as you
right.
go in and it's there.
Oh, I see. Yes, what you're saying.
And you boil it up, and the tamarind is really interesting because it forms this pulp. I don't know if you've ever actually bought it. It's good.
Yes, I have actually. It's a pod, really.
Right.
The other thing I find that's very interesting is the drink that's made with watermelon that's everywhere, even in the barbecue places now, because so many of the cooks behind the scenes are Mexican. These things are infiltrating into just regular cuisine. It's very nice.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. My guest is Rollins Gilliland. He has a piece on street food in the May issue of D Magazine. The pictures in that are just gorgeous, by the way. Did you work with a photographer?
No, but I was really thrilled with what they photographed. The first one, that photograph of the sopes pastor, which really means a sopes is a very thick corn patty that is fried. And then it's topped with the beans and then the topping, the meat, in this case, the pastor, which is the pork, and then the lettuce, tomato, and then avocado, sour cream, all the different. I mean, that's like two blocks from my house. And I was so happy for them. They worked so hard. Some of these people, incidentally, that are featured in that article and that, like that sopes pastor that's right under the headline, she works 14 hours a day, 7 days a week. And she just had tears in her eyes. She said, I can't believe, I mean, these people showing up. She said, well, the first weekend, there were all these men that were showing up and they were just sitting down on the picnic table and just eating over and over and over. And just so I can't help but feel good about that. You know? But no, I thought they did a wonderful job with the photography.
800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's speak to John in Dallas. Hey, John.
Hey, Chris and Rollins.
Hey.
Well, you're bringing back to college, Rollins, because back when I was at UT, I lived off the Vietnamese egg roll stands, the street that used to be there by Littlefield Fountain. But now I'm in East Dallas, and my kids, they don't have to go to McDonald's or any of that. They want to go to the Salvadorian Pupuseria.
Yes.
And there's a little place that serves caldo right beside it over on Highland Road in Ferguson.
Uh-huh. I know exactly where that is, yeah.
And then I was going to ask you, I mean, I want to just comment and see if you've been there, because the Salvadorian stuff is some of the best stuff in the city, I think, the plantain and all that.
Right.
In your world travels, did you ever experience kvass? It's in Russia. It's a fermented bread drink. They have kiosks for it all over the city, and it's like the ultimate street food there.
No, but ironically, I have two friends that I've been very close with in town for about 20 years who came here from Russia, and through them I have tasted it. But yeah, it's kind of like what is that fermented vegetables that the Koreans make?
Is that kimchi?
Kimchi, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's an acquired taste, that's for sure. Yeah.
We are talking with Rollins Gilliland and with you about street food. Call us now and give us some of your recommendations or ask Rollins a question. The telephone number is 1-800-933-5372. Our email address is think@kera.org.
Funding for Think is made possible by SMU's informal courses for adults, offering summer escapes from the everyday. Short courses start in June. Curious? Details at smu.edu/think.
You're You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. My guest this hour is Rollins Gilliland. He's a writer and a KERA commentator who has an article about street food in the May issue of D Magazine. You can join us by calling 1-800-933-5372 or emailing think@kera.org. Marcy in Stephenville writes, listening to the show makes me want to go explore Dallas. As someone who is not from the area who finds Dallas quite daunting, Rollins makes it sound much more homey and accessible than it seems. I'm going to get a copy of the magazine and start exploring. I will say this, you know, and we all like D around here, but, you know, if you look at the ads, it is a magazine that is definitely geared for people who can afford to spend more than $1.50 on a meal. What made you decide to pick street food particularly?
Well, I was actually, you know, D Magazine has a blog, several blogs actually, but Front Burner is their preeminent one. And I happened to see a Nancy Nichols, the food editor, had posted something on Front Burner last year, actually, about how one of the restaurants was going to open another branch and feature street food, because the common complaint of people who moved here, particularly from the north and, you know, more ethnically diverse cities, complained that they really missed the access to street food. And I thought, wait a minute. The last time I saw the statistic in Dallas, and this is not just Hispanic, that 1 out of 8 people who live in Dallas proper were born outside the United States. That's a staggering statistic. And they primarily are the southern half of this. That's not true, but a large portion. And so I wrote back and I sort of cried foul very diplomatically, and which case she just outright challenged me to write the article. It was that simple. So I really did the research last August, gained 6.5 pounds, then researched it again in March, gained 3.5 pounds.
Well, what do you do? What's your approach to that? Do you think sometimes it's better to just enjoy something than to worry and think, oh, I can only have 1/2 ounce of this? Or how do you?
Well, this is why I never wanted to write about food, because first of all, I don't think I'm qualified to, and second of all, I don't understand that I can't waste food. You know, I wasn't raised being told that, you know, they're starving in China, but I just can't waste food. I've been broke more than once in my life, and just the ultimate sin. So when I would buy this, I couldn't just take a bite and toss it. I would try, you know, my dog Honey was with me, and I'd never give Honey people food, but I had to in that case, you know. I thought, but so I, as a result, you know, when they, like the guys that out on Illinois, which is very close to 45 and 20, I mean, these guys, you know, the turkey leg they were giving me really, really did look like something Henry VIII would have offered Anne Boleyn. And I had to eat the whole thing and then get
right there in front of them.
Well, yeah. Because if I gave it to Honey, it would look pretty condescending. So,
yeah. What's the etiquette? Do you slink back to your car and try not to dribble sauce on things? Do you stand right there and eat the food?
Well, I noticed when I was hitchhiking around the world, I noticed that if you really made too much of a fuss in public about their food, that very often it was misconstrued, because it made it look like you could afford, you know, to be so. But that's not the case when the immigrant chefs are cooking here. I like to make a fuss over it. I really like to growl and grunt and ooh la la and tell them how wonderful they are and then buy another one, you know, because they're very, very proud. These are very hardworking people by and large. And I mean, not everybody, of course, that's in this article is an immigrant thing. Like we have the places that do these snow cones and so forth, but we'll get to those. Those are another category.
Yeah, bluebell ice cream on the bottom and a snow cone
right
on the top.
Let's talk about the all-time winner. You know, the all-time winner is, if you get the article, and you can read it online, but get the magazine, the tacos to go over on Webb's Chapel is just, you know, breathtaking. The Taqueria La Chiquita is breathtaking, but the one you're talking about is, what do they call it, iced snow cones? Is that what it is? It's shaved ice snow cones, and it's on Bruton Road. Look, one of the frustrations I've got is that people don't have a lot of geographic touch tones in this town. They know Lemon and Oak Lawn. They know, you know, Maine and Irvine, but Sain and Jim Miller, for instance, or Prairie Creek and Bruton might not ring true, but that's what we've got maps go for. But anyway, these people, it's a hole in the literally, it is a window in a wall. And this guy named Israel Drago, who is Hispanic but has a name that sounds like he should be starring in porno movies in some sort of exotic Eastern European. But he does these Bluebell ice cream scoops and then puts this consistency of snow over them and then has like 90 to 100 flavors. And they are open year-round now. The medium is like $2.50. The one that I had the last Saturday was cheesecake ice cream, Bluebell, with the snow over it and then strawberry cheesecake syrup. I am telling you, I'm not even into sweets. I'm not a big dessert person, but I had to eat two.
Rollins Gilliland is here. 1-800-933-5372 is our number. We're talking about street food in North Texas. Let's go next to Linda in Fort Worth. Hi, Linda.
Hi. I'm trying to find, I've been looking for a barbecued or a smoked hot link. My husband is from this area, and he keeps talking about a hot link that he used to bite into the casing, which
I
squirt
know.
Halfway
no,
across
no,
the street.
No, I know exactly.
And we have tried them everywhere.
Now, go to Fiesta. They're inside Fiesta. They're under a hot light and kept warm at all time, and I go in and grab those and slink off with a hot bun and squirt. Mustard all the time. But trust me, I know exactly the ones he wants. You take one bite and it explodes. That's what he wants.
Hot link, like these are hot dogs? These
they're
are
hot links. They're just like, they're like, they're a sausage, they're like a Frankfurter on steroids that has, you know, somehow, you know, been dipped in enormously spicy. You wouldn't want to know what's in it. You wouldn't want to know anything about it except that it is tough to bite into, and when you do, it explodes.
Well, see, when I grew up in Long Island, there we would only get those at the deli. We called them hot dogs still, but they were different than anything you can buy in a package. So I'm going to have to check that out. Mm-hmm. Love Fiesta.
It's Fiesta. Okay. Right, they're right there with the chickens under the lights.
We have an email here from Tom who asks, oh, look at this question. Is there such a thing as healthy street food? Any place that uses whole wheat tortillas or has low-fat options?
No, not really. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, but I'm saying in the course of what I've done. Now, you can, you know, you can choose to leave things off. Like, you know, I guess the closest thing you can do to making it healthy is to leave the sour cream off the sopes. But no, it's an indulgence, but it doesn't have to be that it's the ultimate one. And sometimes I think that just the excitement and the delicious flavors, it's very satisfying. I mean, sometimes I'll eat something that's enormously unhealthy and very fattening and everything, and I'm not hungry for another 24 hours. I mean, it's like swallowing a futon.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number.
A flavorful futon.
Of course, with lots of exploding sauce on it. Shane asks, what would you like to see more of in Dallas cuisines as far as street food? What are we lacking here?
Well, that's a really interesting question. I was very frustrated in my searches that I didn't find Indian more Indian and Asian, you know, cuisines. As I talked, I drove all through Richardson and Irving, which, you know, have large, you know, people from India populations. I'd love to see more of that offered. To tell you the truth, I'd like to see more barbecue done. Remember, my criteria was that it was a freestanding kiosk, a window, or a cart, not where I went into a counter and there was any place to sit down. That's different. But yes, in answer to your question, that is what I'd like. I would have liked more barbecue and even more ethnic options.
Rollins Gilliland is here. He wrote a piece on street food for the May issue of D Magazine. Let's go next to Robert in Fort Worth. Hi, Robert.
Hi.
Hi. Heard your caller's comment just a little while ago about Russian cooking, and I am married to a Russian. I speak Russian and have traveled in Russia, not extensively, but I know Moscow very well.
Wow.
Where are there vendors like you're talking about, outside vendors that serve Russian food? I only know of two stores.
I asked them.
in the area.
Well, I asked my Russian friends that, and they said that, you see, now they've assimilated. This is what I say. You know, when people are worried about immigrants and not assimilating into the American culture, good luck, because they always do. And my Russian friends who came here in the 70s, you know, all of those vendors are now assimilated. But there are there is apparently Russian grocery store that supplies a lot of the ingredients that's up around Forest and Central. In that shopping center. That's where they go a lot. But that's the best I can help you with, because I couldn't find – the first thing I did is phone everybody I know and say, all right, look, here's what I'm looking for. What have you got? And very often the answer was nothing.
You get 10 points for trying the stand outside of a Home Depot to discover that it had really good – was it jalapeno hot dogs? Is
right,
that what you found
jalapeno
there?
Hot dogs, yeah.
That's not the kind of place I think most people think, I'm getting hungry. I'm right outside the Home Depot. What was it for this project that you tried it there?
Right, but I'm not really a hot dog person to begin with. If it had been just regular hot dogs, unless it had been something exotic brought in, you know, or like the Nathan's in New York or something. But I just did because when I saw that they had like the jalapeno hot dog, then I thought, all right, I'm ready to go. And then I talked with him. My Spanish is terrible, and he didn't speak a word of English, but I speak enough that there wasn't a problem. That the relish he used was fresh pico de gallo, and I thought, well, you know, all right, now we're talking. Let's see. This is an interpretation. So,
will any of these folks share their recipes with you? Have you tried?
Well, people who used to sell on the street. I have Colombian friends who used to sell on the street when they first immigrated here. They now have a restaurant, and they've shared their recipes with me, much to their sorrow, since I'm pretty good at cooking. Now,
but, yeah. You're not charging for it, though, right?
No, but I should bottle it up. The ají, the Colombian salsa, is breathtaking.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go next to Ken in Denton.
Hi Ken.
Yes, hello. I was wondering if you guys could tell me if there are any Venezuelan eateries that serve arepas.
Well, no, but I can tell you. It's so funny. I think it's so funny because I never felt like I'd ever write about food.
Arepas, what are those?
But I know exactly where. Listen, if you're in Denton, drive down 35 and then take the Beltline exit and go left over it to the corner of Josie and Beltline. There's a Colombian restaurant called Casa Vieja, and their arepas are exactly what you're looking for.
What are they?
Arepas, again, are corn cake, but they're thick corn cakes. They're like the bread of Venezuela and large parts of Colombia. Colombia has many regions.
Is it like a gordita in consistency?
No, it's more like it looks for all the world like a biscuit, mm-hmm. but it's just out of corn. That's basically what it is.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. You can also send email to think@kera.org. Let's go next to Raquel in Denton. Hi, Raquel.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I just want to say, thank you for the show. But I was wondering if you had any chance to check out any Brazilian food restaurants. I'm from Brazil. And,
well, yes.
I'm not talking about, the gorging, steakhouses.
No,
the
no, no.
The real,
now,
SMA.
Do I sound like Raquel? I'd do that to you. No, I like to go to the Brazilian restaurants where they weigh it by the pound. You know, it'd be like this is the closest. There's one that's out on Story off of 183, very Brazilian. They're Brazilian-owned. It's a buffet, and they weigh it by the pound. That's the best I can offer, but my goodness. I mean, the things that you're hungry for, you'll find there, I promise.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. We're talking about North Texas street food with Rollins Gilliland, who wrote a piece in the May issue of D Magazine. It's out on newsstands now. You can also send email to think@kera.org. I'm thinking, Rollins, that we could have the ultimate food show. We could get you in here and Bud Kennedy, who works at the Star-Telegram and knows a lot about everything, including food. And you guys are both willing to embrace, you know about the good stuff, and you know about the good stuff that is available at sort of regular everyday prices.
Well, that's a nice compliment. I've been a big fan of Bud Kennedy's for a long time.
Have you ever gotten sick eating street food?
Not here. I did when I was 14. I charged a round trip to Acapulco on my sister's Neiman Marcus account and went down and pretended to be an Australian sailor. And that way everybody was buying me food. I know. There's another story.
I'm afraid for you to write your memoirs. I really am.
I'm dying to. Let me tell you, I'm old enough now that they can't arrest me. But, Yeah, I mean, I learned you can't be completely fearless in the hot sun when you're eating things like, you know, guacamole and sour cream and things like that in a foreign country. But really, you know, by and large, these things are very, very well taken care of here. I've seen some more suspect things in very, you know, upscale delis than I really would from the vendors that I've written about.
I've always heard that if the turnover is great, you don't have to worry so much. If they're selling a lot of it, they're replacing it.
I think that's an absolutely good point because I can remember being at a very affluent party and, you know, and by the time that, you know, the dips were getting a little orange around the edge, you know, and I thought, well, you know. And sure enough, by the end of the evening, a couple of people were heaving. They blamed it on the martinis, but it was clearly the dip.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go next to Dennis in Fort Worth. Hi, Dennis.
Hello. How are you doing today?
Great,
Dennis.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Rollins, I just wanted to tell you that I so very much enjoy listening to your commentaries.
Well, thank you so much.
I have a question regarding turkey legs. You mentioned turkey legs,
uh-huh.
And I didn't really hear the beginning of the show, so I'm not quite clear about what you're all talking about. But my question has to do with the Scarborough Fair turkey legs.
Right.
I love them beyond any turkey legs I have ever eaten, and I've bought the spice that they sell that they say that they put on those,
right.
And I believe that they do, but I have cooked turkey legs until I'm blue in the face and I can never make them the same way. And I wanted to find out if you by any chance have any insight as to how those are made.
No. You know, sometimes I think it's better to just be in awe of beauty instead of trying to, you know, take it apart. And when the food is really sumptuous and greasy and alluring and flavorful, you know, and I don't really ask. But besides, I've never been good at barbecue. I mean, here I am, a seventh-generation Texan, and I'm telling you, I'm just not good at barbecuing. So don't feel badly. You've got the right spice. You've probably got the right smoker. But, you know, it really – these people that I bought the turkey legs from, again, as I write about, they're a guy named Timbo and JD, and they were both, yuck, huge. And that's what they do for a living, so that's where I buy them.
You think there is something to the location in which you consume something that literally adds to the taste? Is that possible?
Absolutely, sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of things I ate in Egypt that I would never eat, you know, at the corner of Peak and Bryan. But it tasted good there.
Rollins Gilliland is here. We are talking about street food. You can join us after the break by calling 1-800-933-5372 or send email to think@kera.org.
Funding for Think is made possible by SMU's informal courses for adults, offering summer escapes from the everyday. Short courses start in June. Curious? Details at smu.edu/think.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. My guest this hour is Rollins Gilliland. He has a piece on street food in the May edition of D Magazine, and therefore we are talking about street food and ethnic food that you can get throughout North Texas. You can join us at 1-800-933-5372 or by emailing think@kera.org. Question from Dane about German food. He says, if you're familiar at all with Renza restaurants up north, do you know of any local vendors? I love these cabbage burger rolls, but it's a long drive back to Nebraska to get a taste. And yes, I know I can have them shipped in bulk, but it's expensive and not quite the same as eating them fresh in a Runza hut.
Well, I'm not much help there, actually. When I really want to have good German food, I usually go down in the New Braunfels area and that kind of thing. Of course, sometimes over to Edelweiss over in Fort Worth is an old Texas tradition. But as far as like what we're talking about here, you know, the food that's being offered, you know, at street level or even like, for instance, takeout in restaurants, I'm not very helpful there.
1-800-933-5372 is our phone number. The email address is think@kera.org. Let's go next to Jim in McKinney. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Thank you. Great show. And I love street food as much as anybody else. The question I have is that I had believe I had read it somewhere that the lack of street vendors has to do with fixed chains and semi-traditional restaurants that have been pushing street vendors to the same level and standards of cleanliness and food preparation, and they just can't make it work from a financial model
right.
to keep in business.
Well, you know, it's funny. I really didn't dig into that, but I have by osmosis kind of picked up on that. That, for instance, like in East Dallas, I grew up in East Dallas, and during the 70s, late 60s throughout the 70s, East Dallas had a lot of street vendors, and they have almost none now. And I understand that that was and the same thing is true of downtown. I understand that that really did have to do with those sort of political pressures, you know, about that. But
1-800-933-5372 is our number. The email address is think@kera.org. We have an email from Madhavi in Louisville who says there's an Indian chaat stand inside the Indian supermarket Taj Mahal Imports on Beltline and 75. There's also a great Indian sweet shop called Royal Sweets on Beltline and 75 that serves chaat, and they also have one on Turnpike and Old Benton Road.
Well, I'm really glad that you shared that with us because That's great to know, and I'll make a point of going there.
1-800-933-5372 is our number. We're talking to Rollins Gilliland. Let's go next to Larry in Dallas. Hey, Larry.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thanks.
I'm really enjoying the show. I wonder if the article, if you've talked much about the elotes. That's fairly new to me in Oak Cliff. There seems to be, God, 30 to 50 vendors, and everybody sort of has their favorite. It's just
right.
A fabulous street food.
As a matter of fact, the elote, I had to pick one, and the one that I did pick actually is at Terry's Supermarket on the west side of Illinois in Far Oak Cliff, West Oak Cliff, 4444. The man's Nacho, and I went over to take him a copy of the article the other day to try to make him really happy that his name's in print and so forth and so on. Everybody kind of gathered around him like I was trying to sell him something or was up to no good. That's how bad my Spanish is, but no. Elotes are a real part of what's of Oak Cliff and all through the southern part of the city.
We have an email from Nicole who asks, where do you recommend getting good house-made paletas? And she says that you should do food tours that can be a premium during the next pledge drive, by the way.
I like that idea.
That's a good idea.
Actually, I told somebody during the pledge drive that if they'd pledge at a $1,500 level, I'd house-sit their dog, and I'm doing that tomorrow. So, you know, I'm up for anything, and thank everybody who supports KR.
Yeah.
I really don't. I don't know. I'm a very informal eater, and like I said, I just sort of knew about this whole southern part of the city mentality, and also the Hispanic world up around north of Bachman, and so beyond that, I'm not really an expert on all of it.
What about the paletas? Do you have a place? Those are what people would think of as popsicles, but you can get them homemade.
Factory. You know what? In a lot of the parts of the city, those are the carts are pushed down the street. In my Southeast Dallas, I think they even still do it in East Dallas and a lot of others, and that's where I buy those, and I buy them quite a lot. Again, those people are working very hard, and they usually charge $1 a piece for those. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm buying them. Yes.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. The email address is think@kera.org. Let's go next to David in Dallas. Hey, David.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Really enjoying the show. And
well,
your guest.
Thanks.
First, a quick anecdote. You know, the first time I ever went to Manhattan, everybody knows about the famous street vendors for hot dogs. And I was just determined I was going to get one of those street hot dogs. The vendor was a nice person. The hot dog tasted great. And I ate that hot dog for the next 2 days.
Oh, I know that feeling.
I can say that in Home Depot in Dallas, that has never happened.
No.
My question, and I'll listen for an answer off the air, and thank you. I have two industrious young daughters, and we live in a rural area northeast of Dallas. We have a lot of commuter traffic going back and forth to Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
In the morning, they would like very much to set up a little kiosk on the side of the road to sell coffee and donuts and pigs in a blanket and just, you know, hand them into those cars as they pull over into the parking lot.
Right.
And do you have any tips for them? And I thank you. I'll listen off the air.
Well, again, I'm not an expert, but here's my gut instinct. If we were having a beer over in Guam, here's what I'd tell you. pigs in a blanket, you know, that's going to end up being very perishable and you know, and so forth and so on. What I would do with – and coffee, I don't know. I found that everybody, whether they think they like it or not, they like snow cones. It's just one of the things I found, because I've got three different snow ice things on this. And during the summer, I think that at any time of day, why not think about doing where in the morning they've got like a chocolate, I mean, you know, a coffee syrup or something. Oh,
like iced coffee?
Yeah. I mean, get creative, but try not to make it where it's something that's labor-intensive to make and highly spoilable, which bacon and all that would be.
1-800-933-5372 is our number. We have an email from Ross who asks if you found any Indonesian or Malaysian food in the Metroplex. He says, I lived in Jakarta for 8 years and greatly miss all the culinary delights of Southeast Asia.
Gosh, I think I am drawing a blank on that.
I bet somebody will call who's got a great suggestion.
Yeah.
800-933-5372 is the number. Let's go next to David in Dallas. Hi, David.
David.
Hi. Go ahead, please.
I have a question about where can you find in town huitlacoche or cuitlacoche?
What is that?
Well, I know what it is. It's actually a cornier fungus, isn't it?
Ooh.
Yes. I used to get that in Mexico City all the time. I can honestly tell you, within the context of what I'm writing about here, I don't know anything. But I have seen huitlacoche, the cornier the ingredient for that that's used in a soup and that kind of thing. I've also seen that at Carnival and Fiesta.
Does it taste like a mushroom?
No.
Sounds like something you need a topical cream for.
No, yeah.
Cornier
really?
Fungus.
I don't know. You've got cloudier fungus and cornier fungus. I mean, that's what are ethnic foods for, but no. No, that's best I can tell you. Mm-hmm. I would get the Diana Kennedy cookbook, and then you know now where to go and get the ingredients.
Do you divide up your friends between the people who will go with you to these places and eat street food and the people who won't?
You know, I'm really blessed. I have an enormous variety in the people that I call friends, but very, very few of them actually really indulge in that with me. I took my friend Orlene that I grew up with around with me when I was doing part of this research, and she was very helpful. They love to go with me. It's just they're not going to do it on their own particularly. But they will things like, you know, at Fiesta, you know, in East Dallas, you know, or whatever. They might get an elotis. I'm not saying they won't, but as far as like really, really going out there and having a good time, finding exotic treats. They'll do that with me, but not alone.
It's funny to think that people will eat at a McDonald's or something, and they're afraid to eat at a stand somewhere.
Yeah, you know, and I'm the exact opposite. I don't mean that that's better. I just I think it'd be very scary to me to eat. I mean, to me, eating in a McDonald's is rather scary. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that in a la-la land way. It just sort of is. I think, what's the point?
1-800-933-5372 is our number. Let's go next to Thomas in Sherman. Hey, Thomas.
Hello. I was just thank you very much for the show. It's been quite wonderful. I'd also like to give a little recommendation for a wonderful local place in Sherman, Texas. It's called Tacos Hondo Mix. Actually run out of a school bus, an old school bus that's been converted. And it's wonderful. I take my friends there all the time. Lots of them are very, you know, very scared about going into the taco bus and getting great Mexican food. But this is a combination of Honduras and Mexican food. It's very wonderful. That great.
How lucky you are.
Yes, it's wonderful. You can get a $6 burrito, and it's as big as your forearm. And it is the most satisfying thing ever. And I really recommend that you come and try it. And I recommend everybody.
Well, I probably will. I'm always driving up to Arkansas. Was that Thomas?
That was Thomas.
Yes. Thomas, yeah. Mm-hmm. Thomas, you know, actually, I'm glad you brought up the cost of something, because, for instance, one of the things I hadn't mentioned is how cheap a lot of what I'm talking about is. Like, for instance, over at the Tacos to Go that's on Webb's Chapel, those tacos are $1 a piece. And I'm telling you that in an upscale restaurant that's serving, you know, Mexico City, you know, street food type thing, they'd be $7.50 a piece. Mm-hmm. I know. I've been there.
Let's try. Let's see. Let's go now to Bert in Fort Worth.
Bert.
Hi, Bert.
Hello. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks.
I work in Central America a lot, and specifically Guatemala, Belize, Honduras, Costa Rica, and that area. There are these, you get them whenever you're getting on a bus, you're driving in a bus in Guatemala, mm-hmm. and some little woman comes on, you don't even question the cleanliness of these things, but they're a corn meal wrapped around potato with some meat inside there. And
it's a
wonderful.
Tamal. It's really what they call a tamal. They did the same thing when I was living in or in love in Colombia and therefore sort of living there. Yeah. They're really quite wonderful. And like you say, nobody ever questions anything. I think we really underestimate how good our immune systems are to bacteria. In fact, I think they get stronger when we eat things that are a little exotic.
You have to be adventuresome. Right?
Absolutely.
Let's see. We have an email from Gabriel who says, the best place I ever had street food was Seoul, South Korea. I have no idea what I ate most of the time because nothing was in English. I would just point, give them money, and I loved it. The Navy gave us extensive warnings to never, ever, ever eat from the street vendors, and I promptly ignored them.
Well, good for you. There again, you see, it's the assimilation. There used to be a lot of Korean street food out there around Royal and Harry Hines, and now those people own actual restaurants or businesses.
Mm-hmm. What do you do when it comes to going to a brand new place? Do you like to get a recommendation from the people who work there? Do you like to see what the people, three people ahead of you in line, are ordering?
I don't know that I really have a system. I just kind of look at, and something jumps off. Like when I went to Tacos to Go, they had the Milanesa, which is like a pan-fried cutlet.
Like a steak.
Yeah. And when I saw that, I thought, I've never seen that before offered in a taco. And that kind of thing. So, I mean, you know, it's a little of everything. And sometimes I'll ask, you know, it's just there's no one system. Just try it.
Let's go next to Kim in Fort Worth. Hi, Kim.
Hey, it's a great show. I just wanted to call in you guys and see if you had any information for me on Panamanian food in Dallas.
Panamanian?
Oh, you know, I was, well, yes and no. Actually, there's a, there's a grocery store that's in somewhere around Coppell that does Panamanian and Cuban takeout. That's, I don't know, I would go online and look. It'll jump out, but that's about the best I can help on that. I have friends from Panama, but they never gave me any idea.
Rollins, what's the most interesting thing you've learned about since the piece came out? Because I know you're getting emails and calls now, and everybody wants to tell you what their favorite is.
Well, it's also what's brought me the most happiness about this, and it's that people really honestly, it's like I made it all right for them to be interested in other parts
if
of this city.
If it's in D Magazine, it's okay.
Yeah, and you know what? And that's fine. D's getting a lot edgier, and I really like the direction that Tim Rogers has taken. Yeah. I remember when Wick Allison was a long-haired rebel in the 70s and starting that magazine, so
I'd like to see a picture of that.
Well, I'm sure I've tried to blackmail him with a couple of them. But that's what's been really the most gratifying. I'm from Dallas, and that really doesn't have much to do with why I explore it constantly, because I have a lot of friends who grew up here and know nothing about this town much. But I'm eager to share what I know and to try to get people to fall in love. The more you know about people that are different from you, the richer you become and the more involved you become in your sense of where you live.
Well, I'm so glad that we finally had you here on this show. We've asked for money together, Rollins, but I'm glad that you were actually a guest on the show. Rollins Gilliland is a writer and a frequent KERA commentator. His article on street food appears in the issue of D Magazine that is now on newsstands. Rollins, thanks again.
Thank you so much.
My name is Chris Boyd. Thank you for listening and have a great day.
Think is produced by Jeff Whittington and engineered by Jeannie Mascoro. Learn about upcoming programs, subscribe to our free daily podcast, and order CD copies of your favorite Think shows on the radio page of KERA.org. And we'd like to hear what you think about Think. Email your comments, questions, and suggestions to think@KERA.org.